Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
First time?
Day spa?
I think that was taken out of context.
Uh-huh.
As a negative connotation to it, which I don't appreciate.
You?
Six.
Dale Arnold.
If yes. Belichick was to be compared to something.
Anything else on Miami?
Oh. What are you comparing Belichick to?
Yeah, well, that's not his title.
The Grinch.
D-minus.
Rich Keith.
It's not always that.
Sam Darnold.
You know, we're unstoppable as an offense, or we can be.
What are you doing, Sam?
What are Sam Darnold's hobbies?
I want to kiss you.
Just like any other team, they're not unbeatable.
Boom shakalaka!
Dale and Keith. Middays.
And Ricky Snails Jones.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI. I don't know about you, but this is going to give me the sads.
Uh-oh.
It's not
on a Monday.
And you know, and it's a game night and all that stuff, but this is going to give me the sads. The Philadelphia Eagles lost again yesterday. Mm-hmm. Dallas Cowboys broke
hurt.
A three-game losing streak.
Yep. It helped me.
That's right. Actually, we both picked the Cowboys. So
Lane Johnson. You remember him?
Yeah.
The guy who said that the Patriots don't have
no
any
fun up here.
Yeah, right.
Lane Johnson said after the game that they're going to have a team meeting.
Ooh. Those always work.
Going to probably be a call-out session, he says. Oh, everybody will session. Be held accountable.
Putting them all on blast.
Wow. Little stuff that slides during the week, late to practice, late to meetings, stuff will be held accountable for.
Yeah, they got
I think
smoked.
That'll maybe creep into the games.
Mm. They got smoked last night.
I guess that's what happens when you're having a lot of fun.
They're having a blast.
You lose track of time.
Yep.
Oh, we got a meeting? Oh, damn.
So are they
locker room dancing?
Are they actually late to practice and late to meetings?
So I bet there are some guys.
Now, you played on a few different teams. Wiggy.
Strolling there, out there a little
were
late.
Were there some teams where that was like acceptable? Like if you would show up a little bit late, if guys would show up like jogging out late to practice or whatever, would that happen or no?
It depends on the guys. In certain organizations,
so like the best player. So when you were in Minnesota,
if Moss
showed
comes
up a
strolling
late,
out a little bit,
no
late,
big deal, right?
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah, right.
We're all looking the other way.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, we're all looking the other way. Nobody's going, well, why can Moss do this and we can't? Yeah, you look the other way.
Yeah, exactly.
There are certain things that you do, but when it starts to become a problem and it affects you as a team and affects your performance, you run into these Lane Johnson situations where now it's. We got to call guys out. Every Monday after a Patriots game, Bill does that, win or lose.
Yeah, right. Now, I wonder if the Eagles – now, I'm not saying right now they're definitely going to miss the playoffs because they're 3-4. But is there a chance that even after winning the Super Bowl, you know, unlike the Falcons, once they lost the Super Bowl, they made the playoffs the next year, and now they seem like an absolute
mess. They fell a complete apart.
But the Eagles – they had a much bigger dilemma on their hands because they won the Super Bowl with a different starting quarterback. And now they're going back to Carson Wentz, but now it seems like they're actually getting worse than they were a couple years ago.
Yeah, well, it's Nick Foles. They shipped the wrong guy out.
You think about it.
Let's
the Patriots are out there killing organizations. What's Seattle done since their Super Bowl loss? Atlanta looks like a mess.
Mm-hmm. No, I know.
Philadelphia has a win, but now they're tortured.
Yeah, but Philly has a win, which is the biggest distinction. But they were sort of in a weird spot where you win with your backup and you're like, now what do we do?
Right.
Right? That's a weird spot to be in. And Wentz is good, but he hasn't really resumed what he looked like that year before he got hurt.
So let's listen to Lane Johnson with his call out to the party people.
Do you think he was sensing that he needed to motivate the team a little more?
Yeah, I mean, coming from a head coach, I just feel like he wanted to put confidence in us and ultimately we couldn't back it up for him, and that's disappointing and ultimately something we've been doing in the past few years. And, you know, it's one of those things where you have to bite the bullet, and it is what it is.
He definitely breathes out of his mouth.
Think so?
Like, there's no doubt. Like, you can hear it in his voice. There's no way he's ever breathed out of his nose.
Right.
There's no chance.
There's
no word.
We missed the key part of Lane Johnson, though.
Really, it's going to be probably a call-out session. Everybody will be held accountable. You know, little stuff that slides during the week, you know, late to practice, late to meetings, late, you know, this and that. stuff will start to be, you know, held accountable for, and I think that'll maybe creep into the games. Really?
There you go.
Well, I always argue with Curtis every, what seems like every time I'm on.
Just for the fun of it, or?
Well, no, because he says things that don't make no sense.
Oh.
It's always about,
okay.
Well, Bill does, you know, the way we see Bill talk, right?
Yeah, set the dialogue for the city.
His press conferences and how we see Bill's personality, where he's like, oh, he doesn't give us nothing. He doesn't say anything. Why is he doing that? And I'm always like, that's a piece of why the Patriots are successful. He doesn't agree with it, you know. But when you start to look at other organizations, and Philly's a good one to look at. When you see Lane Johnson coming out and saying some of these things to the media, that kind of gives you a window into how they work over there and how things operate. You're not calling people out for being late. You're not putting people on blast for not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Those are things that you should be doing when you're winning, when you're losing, and those are things that Bill does every Monday. Every player that's ever been through that organization, ask him about a Monday morning meeting and how he puts people on blast and calls people out for making mistakes or not knowing where they're supposed to be. And that's when you win. And it's worse when you lose. And you got a guy like Lane Johnson that shows how these other organizations, like Dale said, tend to, whether they win or lose the Super Bowl against the Patriots, they crumble right, and the Patriots continue to rise like a phoenix.
The Patriot way is a fear-based organization.
I think we'll figure out if Doug Peterson's a good coach based off of what happens this year. Because his second year, he wins the Super Bowl, and he's calling all these crazy plays, and he's aggressive against the Patriots. You're like, all right, this guy, there's not a lot of good coaches in the NFL. There just isn't.
No.
There's less good coaches than there are good quarterbacks. And you thought maybe Doug Peterson could be on that list. I'm not ready to write him off yet. It's still earlier in this season, but how they adjust to getting smoked by the Cowboys in primetime when both teams had the same record, the winner was going to be in first place after 7 weeks, and you get it was just an uncompetitive game, and now you get Lane Johnson saying that people are showing up late and everything else. This will be pretty telling for Peterson.
The problem with these coaches in the NFL, they're so inconsistent. You might have a good year where you do well, but then what happens the next year, the next 2 years after that? That's where when you ask about, and it's the same way with the quarterback situation, when you start to talk about good coaches in the NFL, find me the guys that are consistent and can keep their teams competitive every single year. And those guys are hard to come by.
There's not many.
And the whole idea that, well, you know, there are other ways to win, and other coaches have won.
Oh, there are.
But not consistently.
No.
I mean, Pete Carroll is diametrically opposed to Bill Belichick and won.
Yeah.
Once.
Right.
You know, Doug Peterson is different than Bill Belichick and has won once. To your point, Wiggy, they can't sustain it the way this guy and his coaching style has sustained it for 20 years here.
Right. Just because you score the hot chick at the party once doesn't mean all of a sudden you can do that all the time.
I wouldn't know. I've never done
that. Well, you know.
You can imagine what it might be like.
It would be imagining.
Right. Well, you know, it's all about the imagination.
That's not the only reason why they win.
I never say it's the only reason. But you have to give that credit to why they win. It's a part of it.
But if you gave Pete Carroll could act the exact same way, and you gave him, and I'm talking about Seahawks Pete Carroll, not when he was originally here.
Right.
Because he went to college, came back, he was a better coach for whatever reason. If you gave
him. He is kind of the same guy, though.
That's my point. He's that guy, but he figured something out or whatever it was, and something clicked with the Seahawks. And if you gave him Tom Brady the whole time, something tells me they don't win 6 Super Bowls, but they're in the playoffs every year.
I don't
know. And they probably have more than one. What do you mean? Because he always has a good defense.
Pete Carroll
figures out the defense, and if you gave him somebody.
Somebody screwed up the salary cap and had to unload all of.
They had to unload some of those guys, but they had a really good defense for many years.
But I think you're winning in spite of Pete Carroll. You're going, oh, the reason why they're winning is because Tom Brady. It's a clear distinction on why Pete Carroll would be.
They've won a lot with Pete Carroll.
But you look at. See, I look more at not so much about winning and losing, about how the team plays under him. What is their attitude? And we've seen it go from the Legion of Boom to basically guys were crapping on Pete Carroll, and Richard Sherman's like, this guy can't coach, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Think about it. He should have, after that not handing the ball to Marshawn Lynch thing, they should have won a second Super Bowl, and after that I think other coaches would have either been blown out of there or would have just completely fallen apart. in my opinion, he lost them a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that was many years ago, and he's still there, and he's still finding ways to win.
Well, he's been fortunate enough because
he's got Russell Wilson.
I was going to say, he's got his Tom Brady, too.
Right. No, he does, in a way, and his guy just, you know, he was the one who threw the pick, but still.
I'm not saying they're equal, by the way. I'm just saying he's got a franchise quarterback who's really good.
Oh, he's great, and he's playing better this year. But my point is, that could have ended a lot of guys' careers. If you do that, you are responsible for losing the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, he doesn't get canned. He comes right back, makes the playoffs the next couple of years, wins a division in there. And so he's one of the better coaches. So Bill Belichick does it a certain way, but he's also an unbelievable X's and O's coach. And I think he would still be an excellent X's and O's coach if he was telling us that, yeah, so-and-so has an injured ankle. That's not the end of the world. A lot of coaches do that.
But he also understands that
the X's and O's don't change, but he understands that that causes other issues.
Yes, that's the biggest
thing.
It's
not just the X's and O's. He knows that part.
Right, because then you end up with the Lane Johnson situation.
What issue does it? What issue is the cause?
Well, you don't allow any distractions to make their way into your locker room.
How's that a distraction?
If I say, Rich's ankle's messed up, he'll be back in 2 weeks. Then 2 weeks from now, you're not back, and people are like, wait a minute, I thought he said you were going to be back in 2 weeks.
When he talks on Wednesday, he doesn't say anything about anybody's injury, and then 4 hours later, the injury report comes out, and we see Julian Edelman's chest injury. And if somebody asked him about Julian Edelman's chest injury on Wednesday, and he says, you'll get the injury report, rather than he said, yeah, he's dealing with a chest injury, there's zero difference.
He doesn't want the follow-up questions.
Julian Edelman. What's the follow-up?
So what exactly? What happened to him?
He suffered on Thursday night.
No, my God!
Can you imagine? But not with Bill, though. The place would fall apart.
But not with Bill, though. It bleeds off. See, I think the problem that a lot of people have the misconception is they think, well, it's a follow-up to Bill, but it's not Bill. Bill doesn't look at it for. The reason why I do this is because I don't want the follow-up questions. The reason why I do this is because I don't want my players in that locker room who don't know how to handle the media like I do getting into the situation. Hey, Jacoby Myers, Edelman's got a chest injury. What kind of role you think you're going to have now that he might be hurt?
More of a follow the leader type of situation.
Yeah, and that's the issue that the problem is. That's why I said it goes back to the Lane Johnson, right? You start to say some certain things. Now, as the coach, now they go put the mic in front of your face and say, well, guys are showing up late to meetings. They're showing up late to practice. Whoa, wait a second here. Who's showing up late? Who's not doing this? Mm. Now Bill's being asked this question. Now Daron Harmon's being asked this question. You said it the other day. We asked Julian Edelman every Friday on the Greg Hill Show. We have that interview.
He finally gave us something this week.
And I think he really kind of missed that one.
He's
going to
shut it down.
Right.
Even more going
but
forward.
They give you nothing.
Yeah.
And they do that because the reason why they do that is because of what they see Bill do. And then that ultimately doesn't lead to any problems that might rear their ugly heads if they say, okay, I like Antonio Brown. I wish he was here.
Ain't going to happen here.
No. But in Philadelphia, man, you know, if we had Antonio Brown, you know.
Yeah, they might.
And that's why Bill does it. So it is part of their success to say that it's not and there's other ways to do it. Yeah, there's other ways to win one championship. But if you want sustained success over a period of time, the motto is what Bill Belichick built.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just hard to do. I just think when you have Tom Brady, that also makes up for a lot. So
Russell Wilson is...
He's very good.
He's
very good.
He's not one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Right now he's the best.
Right, but are they winning since the time that they won a Super Bowl? Were they consistently winning their division?
I mean, they almost won. They should have won back to back Super Bowls.
But did they consistently win their division?
No, but they're in a good division, so they.
I don't know how good
Rams went to the Super Bowl last year.
Last year, but
the Niners went to the Super Bowl during this run.
But prior to that,
Niners are undefeated.
How good was that division prior to that? Let's really go back and look
all
at that
of those
division.
Teams have been in the
NFC,
Super Bowl in the last 15 years.
Rich, the NFC West. When you talk about the last 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, but you're talking about the AFC East.
The NFC West was worse. You're talking about the Seattle team that got into the Super was it the Seattle team or was it New Orleans who got in it or won the division at 7-9 1 year? I think it was Seattle won that division.
They did, but that was like before Russell Wilson. That was with Matt Hasselbeck. That's forever ago.
But I'm saying when you look at the
division.
No, but recently
you'd have to admit the Rams.
I would say
it's harder to win that division.
I would say last year with the Rams.
Yeah.
But prior to last year, maybe the Rams. Jeff Fisher was there for.
The 49ers had a couple of good years, and then they fell off, and now they're back.
They had the one
good
Cardinals
year. Cardinals were good for a couple of years.
No, then you're going way back to Arizona.
Yeah,
now. You're going.
Yeah.
Kurt Warner. You just said don't go. You just told me to go. Not go back to. Who did you tell me not to go back to?
Matt Hasselbeck.
Matt Hasselbeck.
I'm going to Kurt Warner. That helps my case here. That's what I said. No, I know it's not a world beater. It's not a world beater division. But the Patriots just have to show up and they're going to win the division every year.
But there was a point in time, Rich. No, let's not play coy. There was a point in time.
When was the last time the Bills
just show up?
When was the last time the Bills, Dolphins, or Jets went to the Super Bowl? And then
no,
I guess
I
the flip side, Rams went last year, Niners went with Kaepernick,
right,
and the Cardinals went with Warner. That's all within
I'm
the
not,
last
I'm not
two decades.
Disputing that, but okay. I'm just saying that there was a point in time when the NFC West was like.
No, I understand.
Yeah,
I got you.
All right, and
weren't the Falcons in the NFC West? Which made no sense.
I don't know, not at all. No.
Yeah, years ago they were.
That might have been way back. Yeah. That might have been like Steve DeBerg.
That was like the Cowboys being in the NFC East.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
So it is.
So at the risk of opening up this can of worms, and as we get back to the calls, it's time to give you an update here, because you know we're in the interest of bringing you all the latest news.
Today's Antonio Brown update.
He re-signed?
No.
Oh man,
you got me excited there for a second.
Because all we're left to do now is to try to translate social media postings. Help me out with this one.
Okay.
Antonio Brown tweeted out 25 minutes ago, quote, "You ain't have my best interest." Unquote.
Is that the proverbial you? Who's he talking about?
I don't know. He's talking about somebody. Somebody didn't have his best interest
you
at heart.
You ain't have my best
you
interest.
You ain't.
I mean, if you looked at it on the surface, you'd say, is he talking about Drew Rosenhaus?
Maybe.
Is he talking about an attorney?
Maybe.
Who's telling him, hey.
Oh, that attorney? I don't know if he still has that guy.
Is he talking about Brittany Taylor, who he had a relationship with?
I don't think he would suggest she's got his best interest anyway. This sounds like somebody who's mad that somebody who was supposed to have his best interest doesn't.
I got it. Wiggy, you know who Kodak Black is?
Yes.
It's a song lyric from
he's a rapper.
I'm flying.
Yeah, he's a rapper who's in jail.
Yep.
From the Florida region.
I like that. You ain't have my best interest is a line in the song, If I'm Lying, I'm Flying.
Okay.
Antonio Brown has also used If I'm Lying, I'm Flying in an Instagram post.
Okay.
So there
we go.
Right out.
So there
Take
we go.
That, Golden Tate.
So
all these other guys. Remember when he was tweeting out something before and everybody started commenting at him like Golden Tate? And then he was like, oh, I guess you've never heard like Lil Wayne or something.
Right.
It was like all lyrics. Chances are it's a lyric.
And he's,
what does it mean?
And
I don't know.
We don't know.
His lyrics are telling a story.
Yeah, they are.
He say, if I'm lying, I'm flying, right?
I might not play this song. Okay, got it.
Yeah. So, only clean music.
Right, yeah, just be careful.
So the lyrics are telling a story, right? So if I'm lying, I'm flying for Kodak Black, right?
Yeah.
So basically he's always been saying, hey, I ain't lying about this situation that's going on out here.
Mm-hmm.
This whole Brittany Taylor, this whole artist thing. I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth. If I am lying, then guess what? I'm going to be flying down the street, and I ain't got no wings.
Now, also part of this song, there's a line, and this would go right up, I believe, what Merlone's been saying. Somebody on OMF has been saying this.
Mm-hmm.
I ran out of money.
Mm-hmm.
That might be true.
Not great. If that's true, I don't know if that's true.
I mean,
just a couple of lines ahead of you ain't have my best interest.
What's the next line, though?
He said, I'm special with the mic, special with the whipping. I ran out of money, had to pay attention. All the people that was around me, they ain't have my best interest. You ain't have my best interest. You lazy with your loyalty and your position. And now I got to execute because you don't listen.
Right.
And then it continues on and on from there.
So then, like Dennis Hopper, get the chopper so we can get this money back. I mean, there's a lot of things that complete.
There's no mention of Dennis Hopper in this one.
Well, I'm just saying.
Now maybe another song.
The next line, you got to see what that means.
Right.
I ran out of
money. Like, it's like Tom Brady. You got to watch the whole episode.
Right.
You can't just watch him coming out of the spa
there's
and
gotta
jump
be a way
to conclusion.
There's got to be a way you get the money back.
Yeah. Well, Jason Lockenfora said this weekend, he thinks it's entirely possible after the trade deadline
that
somebody's going to sign Antonio Brown. His premise here is, trade deadline passes, you're in need of wide receiving help, you don't get what you're looking for, you can't make a deal, there's a whole bunch of teams looking for help, you're the guy left without a chair to sit in the musical chairs thing, so you go sign Antonio Brown.
You end up getting the best receiver out of the group. You know, you're sitting there waiting, you're like, ooh, what would it take to get Mohamed Sanu? It's like, just sign Antonio Brown. He's better.
Any possibility.
Yes.
No. I'm just throwing this out to the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Toss it out there.
You trade for Emmanuel Sanders, right?
And
trade deadline goes by.
Yeah.
Nobody picks him up.
Yeah.
Now it's like, you know what? We're already paying him. Let's bring him back. So not only do you trade for Emmanuel Sanders, but then you bring back AB.
Could happen. I mean, if Tom Brady's doing spoof videos of day spas, I don't see why not.
Imagine that one.
You are never going to let this die, are you?
No, I mean,
until he signs somewhere
else. You brought it up with the Jason Lock and Foyer because I did see
that. Well, no, he didn't say here.
Well, no. But
he
the
said
fact
he
that,
thinks someone will.
Well, maybe the Pats
also,
won't get their guy.
By the way, he also admitted that it's entirely possible teams are going to stay away from him because of the uncertainty about what's going on here. He was sort of one of those all-over-the-place posts by Lock and Fora.
That happens. It's like a catch-all, and you hope that something later on down the line.
He could get signed, but he might not.
Right. Yeah. He's throwing his net out there wide and see.
Rapport is famous for that. Either he'll sign with somebody or he'll remain a free agent. You're like, right. What am I missing?
Bob's in Marion. Let's get this over with. Hi, Bob.
Dale, how you doing today, sir?
Great.
So, listen, real quick, can we have a ceasefire, a little World War II Christmas Eve? Just put down the bayonets real quick so I can clarify one thing.
Is this Uncle Bob?
Uh-huh.
This is Uncle Bob.
Kiefer, what's going on,
what's
baby?
Up?
How you doing?
I'm great.
So listen, first caller, I was a long-time listener, first-time caller, a little excited, a little nervous. I may have misspoke. What I did want to say is that I loved the Steelers in Denver getting 6.5. So please, can we back off me saying I picked the team?
All right, what do you got? What do you got? You got another pick for us today or what?
First off, 5-1 against the spread last weekend.
Pretty good.
And Dale, I call 2 out of 3 road dogs that bite. Ravens and Saints. Wow. Money line. I did kind of fall short on the
they always leave that part out. I did fall a little short here.
All right, Uncle Bob. Hang in there.
Listen, I'm still listening. Those are Hall of Fame numbers. 2 out of 3 road dogs on
the
road.
That's pretty good.
Money
line. Barking
that's
the loudest.
All I'm saying, baby. That's all I'm saying.
You got to pick tonight?
I got to pick tonight. I'll give you a pick tonight and a couple of nice layups tomorrow. So the conservative Jewish American from Brooklyn that I am, love the Patriots. I'm going to put $100 on them. However, I'm going to protect my 100, and I'm going to take a little parlay, $30 on the Jets plus 10 and the under. Keep it safe. Now let's go to next week. I'm going to give you a couple of pearls here.
No.
Two games that I absolutely love on the road
next week.
Yeah, no,
what are we doing here, Bob?
We
live in the
this
moment
week
here. Let's see how
you want to call back. You want to call back so I can talk to Shine, my favorite nephew, on Friday, and I can just give the Patriots tonight. Whatever you guys want.
Call him. Yeah, give him a buzz on Friday.
Yeah, because we couldn't help but notice. We couldn't help but notice, by the way, that
thank you very much.
That Chris Shime, the patriarch of the parlay parte, didn't bother to show up today to answer for his picks.
Well, we were told we were going to have him every day, but then he also has to produce post-game show tonight, and so he's doing the post-game show tonight. So apparently that show's more important than our show, but I digress. My point here is Uncle Bob adds 2 picks at stick. Was it 2 picks at stick?
Well, he said 2 road dogs.
Well, they already bit the loudest or barked. The thing here is
only one of them was on a bye week, too.
So he took Patriots, was his 1 pick, minus 10, I assume?
Yeah, then he said he had some picks for tomorrow, but there's
no
games tomorrow.
Also, did he parlay the Jets in the under?
Yeah,
he probably wants
$30.
To give you his Bruins-Toronto Maple Leafs bet for tomorrow night.
He's parlaying it with the Bruins puck line tomorrow.
I'm so confused.
For $30.
Did he just tell us? I'm so confused. Did he bet the Patriots and the Jets in 2 separate?
That's what it sounded
yes, he
like.
Did. He did because he's protecting his bet.
Right.
But what? You're gonna. So he's putting
$100
on the Pats minus
and then
10.
$30 on the parlay.
30 steamers down on that game.
And the
I don't
under.
Get it. In the under. Yeah. Oh, he's parlaying.
Parlaying the Jets in the under. That's what
all
it
right.
sounded like.
Okay, so you're automatically going to lose one of those bets. Am I right? One of them you're out on.
Yes.
So which one do you root for?
It's been a while.
Well, the bigger bet you want to win, right?
Yes.
Love the Patriots.
Yep.
I'm going to put $100 on them. However,
okay.
I'm going to protect my 100, and I'm going to take a little parlay, $30 on the Jets plus 10 and the under. Keep it safe.
Right.
Okay.
So he's betting Jets.
So he definitely, you know, you can tell he's related
to Shine bets
because he did a parlay.
So he's only going to, he's basically saying, I'll win the Pats bet, and if I lose, I'm losing $30.
I'm going to do the math on this during the break.
Yeah, see, it's been a while since I...
I'm trying to figure out, since
I bet on teams. Usually I bet when they pass out the football cards and you buy those back in the day. You used to buy those for, what, $10, $5? It's been a while since that.
So if he bets $100 on the Pats...
Right, what's the...
Let's see. They're minus... I don't want to buy the point. I want to leave it at 10.
I can't be paying much.
$86.96.
That's how much it'll pay?
Yeah, so remember that.
86,
and then
96.
The other one would be, he said the Jets, but he's going to also parlay that with
the under.
For $30.
For $30. Mm-hmm. This is a real pain in the... That would get $84.35.
So that would get you $84.35.
So he's basically betting $130 is what he has to bet.
Right.
And he's going to make about $85.
Or $86.
Well, if he wins the Pats, he's going to lose the $30.
Yeah.
So figure that. That's
I don't love this bet. I'm telling you, I don't love it. So, I don't like hedging. So do you like the bet or not?
So that'll be $70, right? Then he'll win the 86.
Yeah.
But then you minus the 30 to get you back to 100. So
you're up like $40, maybe $50.
Yeah. You would have won. Let's see, 30. Yeah, you don't want to buy
good, Dale.
$56 and some change.
I don't know. You confused me with that whole thing. It just sounds like you're hedging too much.
617. But we do have a Christmas truce. We're putting down our bayonets because it's Christmas Eve.
Yeah, there's issues here.
We thought that he made up. We thought that he picked teams that were on the bye, but he was referring to his previous winners. That was the big problem a week ago.
617. Well, I didn't say he had a team on the bye. John said it.
Well to be fair, correctly. He was using pronouns. So
you know, he's only winning $50 either way.
Yeah, I don't love that.
Either way, if you go to the Patriots and you lose on the Jets $30, that's $70.
But if the game hits the over, then if it's the over in the Jets, he loses both.
So he basically, as a texter points out, either wins 70 or breaks even.
Yeah, probably right.
That's he either wins 70 or he breaks even.
I don't see how that call is getting that one. If you lose that, if the Pats cover, you're instantly out $30.
$30 gone.
$30 gone.
Easy come, easy
go. So you've only the $86, $86.69.
Yeah, so you're winning $50, like the texter said, right?
You're winning $50 because you get your $100 back plus the $50. On the flip side, if the Pats don't cover, you're automatically out $100.
Right.
And then you win $84. So basically, do the math there.
I don't want to. It hurts my head. Let's move along.
As the texter points out, if the over comes in and the Jets cover, he loses everything.
He's out on $130.
He loses it all. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keith with Wiggy.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. To check the time as it's...
We have noon 30.
Noon 30.
It's noon 30.
It's going to be the Wild West at noon 30. Dale's already warmed up to noon 30.
No, I haven't.
You just said noon 30.
It's
noon 30 with Dale and Keith.
Can we give credit where credit is due? Whoever the camera person was in charge of the remote robotic camera for the Bears-Saints game and who tracked the Cordarrelle Patterson 102-yard kickoff return for a touchdown.
That was cool.
That might be art. That might be the best.
Could be.
That might be the best single shot I've ever seen in an NFL game.
That was pretty cool. Now, I could never watch a game like that.
No.
But if you told me that it was going to be a return for a touchdown and then you got to see that whole angle of it, yeah, that was pretty sweet.
I mean, I don't know that anybody's ever done a single shot better than that was done.
No, that was pretty awesome to watch that.
By the way, if you're wondering how these things, the last time the Patriots had Sunday night, Thursday night, whatever it was, whenever they had a night game. Yeah. Oh, we were there on Monday. They had a Thursday night game that was coming up. The guy in charge of that robotic cable camera was there on Monday starting to do the setup for the Thursday game. That's how complicated it is.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
How much work. But if you haven't seen the shot yet, I mean, it's unbelievable. Yesterday was one of those. It was a red zone day for me.
Of course, it's like the perfect red zone game. And there was a lot of games that were supposed to be good. Some ended up being competitive, some did not, but that was a pretty good.
But when
good
do you
slate.
Ever not watch red zone? Unless you're watching the Pats, right?
That's why.
If you're
sometimes if there's a you know, some great game, you know, I'll say, you know, I'll stick with that.
But even then though, Don't you feel like you're missing out if you just focused on the one game?
But don't you also think, I mean, I watched Red Zone yesterday, and I realized about halfway through the afternoon, I really don't know what the hell's going on in any of these games.
Yeah, you do miss a lot of stuff.
You don't have a great sense, do
you? No.
Like, what's the score here?
You do miss a lot of stuff in the Red Zone. Like, I remember saying this, and it's crazy that you bring this up. I was watching the Dolphins and Bills game on the Red Zone, and there was a penalty that they called a personal foul, roughing the quarterback against the Buffalo Bills that led Miami to get down to the goal line. Like, but they never showed the penalty.
Yeah, so then you're just
so now I'm like,
there.
Well, let me see what they were talking about there, but they never went back to it. Mm-hmm. So I feel like at times when I watch the Red Zone, I feel like I miss out on some stuff in the game.
One of the games, I think, and we kind of highlighted this yesterday on NFL Sunday, to maybe crown the second best team in the AFC was Colts and Texans. And especially if the Colts won, which they did. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know the Bills have a better record, but is it time to say that the Colts are legit? You have to, right?
Yeah, I'd say that was a good signature win for them.
You have to. And I know they were at home, but still, Colts have beaten the Chiefs and the Texans now. They're 4-2. Rodney Harrison had a pretty wild comment as it relates to Jacoby Brissett, but still, I would say the Colts are they're for real, at the very least.
Yeah, and the audio seems to have been scrubbed. I mean, the only way we got it was literally somebody recording it off their DVR.
Well, it's one of those things where, and we'll say, are we going to play it or is it not even worth playing? So it was one of those things where it wasn't like a segment on Sunday Night Football where they're sitting there.
No, they're showing a highlight.
They're showing a highlight, and it's sort of a line that's jumped in there.
We'll play it. It's not great audio.
You might as well play it. But it's one of those things where we've all seen it when they're just rolling through highlights, and sometimes these analysts will say something about a player, which I wonder if they really mean. This is what he said.
4 touchdowns. He outplayed Deshaun Watson. Heck, I think he's the best quarterback in the AFC right now.
What a catch by Everett.
That's the AFC?
Brady is
who's
not
outplayed?
So they kind of stop for a second. So Jacoby Brissett, according to Rodney Harrison, is the best quarterback in the AFC.
Right now, he said. I think what he meant was he's playing the best quarterback in the AFC right now, but he didn't say it that way.
Well, what's the difference?
In other words, the way he's playing right this moment, the last couple of games, the way he's played, he's right. Playing the best quarterback. I don't think. Well, and
oh,
I'm
he's
put,
saying
I'm,
he's
I'm,
better I, than
yeah,
Brady.
I'm putting words in Rodney Harrison's mouth. I don't think he'd ever say that.
I think he is saying he's better than Brady. I think he's saying he's better than Mahomes, and he's saying he's better than Watson, which is wrong on all three fronts. But that's what he's saying right now.
He's saying that
he's not saying like best career. Nobody's
no.
That,
he's,
but
saying,
he's saying right now
up
in the
to
AFC,
this point, yeah. He's the best quarterback in the AFC.
Yeah, and he's not. He's not. He had a really good game.
When he said right now, I think he was meaning the way he's playing at this moment, the last game, two games, something like that. I don't think he's talking about the season.
But do you even think that's true? Like, I definitely don't.
Well, but I think he would be talking about the season.
He's definitely
right?
talking about the season.
Because if I were to ask him, okay, who's in your MVP race? Give me a top two people in the MVP race. I'm willing to bet you he would say from the NFC, Russell Wilson.
Yes.
And then from the AFC, it sounds like he would say Jacoby Brissett.
That's what I think. Because, Dale, if I asked you who's the best quarterback right now, how would you answer that?
I'd probably say Aaron Rodgers.
So I would say Russell Wilson. You would say Aaron Rodgers. But what are you basing? You're not basing that off of the
not,
last
not
game.
Not just yesterday.
That's what
no.
I'm saying. Like, you're right. Basing it off of seven games, right? Or six games, depending on if they had the bye.
And I would probably say Russell Wilson as well.
I would say Russell Wilson's the best quarterback right now.
I mean, if you go by passing yards yesterday, Jacoby Brissett had the fifth best day for a quarterback in the NFL, not like, oh my God, look what he did.
Yeah, I don't think you can base it off of
if you go by quarterback rating yesterday, he had the fifth best day.
No, I
in
think
the
he's
NFL.
Going based on throughout
what we've
the season
seen so far.
He's thrown 14 so touchdowns on only 3 interceptions. I think that's kind of
what that means to me is it's not necessarily the who would you rather have for the rest of the season.
No.
He's just saying out of all the guys in the AFC
that I'm watching play,
he's
as of
the
right
best
now.
Quarterback in the AFC.
Right.
I don't think that's right at all. I would rather have forget rather have because maybe that changes the argument. Right now, Patrick Mahomes has been better. I think Deshaun Watson's been better.
I'd say Patrick Mahomes right now, based on through the first 6-7 weeks of the season, would have been playing the best football at the quarterback
and
position.
Brissett's been good, so it's not like he's saying this about Josh Allen or you know, Baker Mayfield. Like, Jacoby Brissett has been really good, right. Has some big wins. His quarterback rating is high. His touchdown interception is good, all of that. But I think that's a shot at Mahomes, Watson, and then a guy whose overall stats aren't there, but I would think would still get a ton of respect, would be Tom Brady, and he has Brissett better than all those guys.
And interestingly enough, a guy who had a real tough day yesterday, conditions were horrible, all of that, is the quarterback of another 6-0 team. Jimmy Garoppolo was horrible yesterday.
Right.
He's 12 for 21, 151 yards, no touchdowns, one interception, quarterback rating of 59.8.
He's wildly average.
Right.
Like, this year, he's been average. And they have a good run game. They have a pretty good offensive line. They have a great tight end. The receivers, obviously, you can kind of take them or leave them. But that's a team that's winning on defense. Would they beat the Redskins? 9-0?
Mm-hmm.
9-0 for Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners. He has been, if they lose in the playoffs, it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo's fault. He does not seem to be all that. Maybe he's still coming back off the injury. I don't know. But he is going to be, he's more of a problem than he is anything else, even though they're 6-0.
To put it in perspective, the two teams who are 6-0, if you go for point differential, the 49ers' point differential is plus 92. The Patriots is 142. They are 50 points better in point differential. Now, their defense is really good.
Yeah.
And
so
they've scored.
They've
scored special teams points, defense points. But if you look at point differential, the Patriots are head and shoulders above the 49ers, and yet they both have 6-0 records.
I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo has 7 touchdown passes and 6 interceptions in 6 games.
Right.
That's brutal.
He is a game manager
for
the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
They run the football, and they play good defense.
The two quarterbacks above him in quarterback rating, just above him, are Marcus Mariota, who got benched, and Carson Wentz, who just had a disaster game last night. And the two directly below him are Kyler Murray, who's a rookie, and Joe Flacco, who sucks. That's the the grouping of QB rating that Garoppolo's in, and yet they still win because they can run the ball so well. The defense is really good. I mean, I guess you could say they scheme it up. They got good coaching. They haven't really played anybody great. They beat the Rams. That's sort of like the signature win. A lot of bad teams on their schedule so far, kind of like the Patriots. But, yeah, he has been nothing special. Like, if Rodney Harrison said Jimmy Garoppolo or Brissett is the better Patriot backup playing, and then he's 100%
then he's right.
There's no debate. Brissett's been much better than Garoppolo, which I think is surprising to a lot of people, myself included. But to say that Brissett's the best quarterback in the AFC, I just disagree with.
I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, you're on live radio or live TV, and sometimes the words don't come out quite the way you expect them to.
So you don't think he believes it?
I don't. Okay. I don't think he thinks Jacoby Brissett's the best quarterback in the AFC. I understand what he said.
Mm-hmm.
I think what he was trying to say was, you know, the way he's playing right now, and even then it's overstating it.
Yeah.
I mean, Lamar Jackson's probably had a better year.
Well, if you go and you look at that,
Lamar Jackson's been great.
So the question I would ask Rodney is then, what are we basing this on? Like, what are we looking at and what are we basing the reason why you're saying this, right? Mm-hmm. Is it because you're going out there and you're throwing for a lot of yards, you're throwing a lot of touchdowns and not many interceptions? Is that kind of how you're looking at it? Or are you going, hey, you're not doing anything bad to put your team in a bad position? Maybe you only go out there and you have a game where you only throw 150 yards and you don't throw any touchdowns, but you don't do anything bad to put your defense in a bad position. You run the football like in Kansas City. When you looked at him in the Kansas City game, statistically, his numbers weren't great. I think he only threw for like a 150, but they ran the ball well. Then you look at Patrick Mahomes, their offense goes as he goes.
Right. I mean, Brissett, to be fair, I mean, he is fourth in the league in touchdown passes, but he's played one fewer game because they had the bye. So, I mean.
But he's also thrown 4 touchdowns in one. It's the same with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
He had that one game where he throws 5 touchdowns, and then you go.
No, I understand. I'm just saying he's been good, but I wouldn't go there just yet with him.
No.
And we already made our excuses. I already said they played in a monsoon in Washington yesterday. We've already made our excuses for Jimmy Garoppolo.
But that's not.
He wasn't good before that.
Right. Yeah, no, they've played in plenty of games where it wasn't like that, and it's been the same type of deal where, like, a pick, a touchdown, handing the ball off a lot,
right,
just trying not to kill him. That's what he's been so far.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio WEEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
I'd say McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley.
Saquon?
And Ricky Snails Jones, the tight end.
Snails?
Is it Snails? What's his name? Look at San Francisco. You want to see their top four?
They got Kittle. And
Kittle.
What? That's it.
Marquise Goodwin. Debo Sweet, Samuel.
Yeah.
And then he going to cry in the car. And Dante Pettis.
You know, the fact that you're making sport of my co-host today does not make me happy in there, John.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
I'm
horrible with names.
That's some of the best moments of NFL Sunday.
Saquon.
Have normal names, man. Stop naming your kids Debo.
Wait a minute. But you wanted him to name his daughter Lakeisha.
Lakeisha's an easy name.
That's just a good name.
Yeah, that's a good, easy name.
Well, it's funny because yesterday, as Fourier correctly pointed out, Wiggy had zero problem saying Zach Galifianakis.
Zach Galifianakis.
He's like, oh, you're talking about Zach Galifianakis? And Fourier's like, that's the one you get.
Name.
That's the one
you can't get Saquon Barkley, right?
Saquon.
One of my favorites.
Who names that kid Saquon?
Well, nobody did. It's Saquon, but that's
Saquon.
All right.
But who names him
from now on, forevermore, Ricky Seals Jones now Ricky Snails Jones.
And who has two last names?
Well, some people do.
I mean, come on.
Some people do. They get the hyphen in there.
That's like having the two first names for your first and last name. And Ricky Snails Jones. Like your last name is Bob. And
no,
your
my buddy knew a guy named Scott Scott.
Yeah, Billy Bob.
Really?
Yeah, Scott Scott. Come on. That's tough, isn't
it? His parents should be
beaten. I don't know. They just love the name so much. Like, we got to go Scott.
I was watching on...
Like Bob Roberts or something.
Yeah, I was
watching in the Chicago game.
Yeah.
The kid Kiki Couture. Who the hell names their kid Kiki Couture?
Kiki. Maybe it's a nickname of some sort. I don't know.
The Vanderways did.
Yeah, Kiki Vanderway was a very good
But your
score.
last name, is it Couture, Kite, the
I'm
kid
not,
from Chicago?
I don't know. I really couldn't begin to help you.
I think it's Kite.
There's Kiki Cutie, who plays for the Texans.
That's who I was thinking about. Yeah. Kiki Cutie. I know.
That's what the game should be, is Wiggy finds a player, we have to guess who he's talking about.
Figure out.
Yeah, we have to figure out.
I'm watching the game with my wife, and I'm like, who?
That's it, he says.
Kiki Cutie.
Yeah, Kiki Cutie.
I'm like, you know your last name's Cutie, right?
Right.
So you're going to name your son, his first name's going to be Kiki.
Yeah, Kiki Cutie.
And
Wiggy didn't even get the team right. So how am I supposed to get the name right?
For some reason,
I thought for Houston.
For Houston.
Yeah, Kiki Cutie.
Who the hell? Your
little
last
receiver.
What's his last name again?
Cutie.
Cutie.
As opposed to Couture, which is what
Kiki
Wiggy thought it was.
Kiki Cutie.
Kiki Cutie.
Saquon Barkley.
You don't like him?
I mean, what is this? What was his mother a fan of Drake?
Maybe.
Kiki, are you cutie?
Actually, his real name is...
There you go.
Kevon Taney.
Right. Come on, man.
Apostrophe Vantanie.
Oh, I mean, I love black people to death, but when it comes to names, come on. The kid's last name is already QT. So give him something really nice.
Chris.
You want to go Chris?
Call the guy
Jermaine.
Chris. Yeah, call him Mike.
You want to go something really simple? Yeah. Michael.
Michael QT.
You know, James.
No, they're like, we want to call him Kevontae.
It's like, let me find... The car that I love the
Vantanie.
Most, my favorite drink, and my favorite artist. So
I'm a blender,
right? Throw it in a blender. Yeah. I'm gonna go with Bugatti, Yancey Hennessy. Like, come on,
that's a name.
Sounds good to me.
You got a kid right there, ready to go.
And his last name is
Cutie
Johnson.
Well, then I can see why you might want to spice it up. But you have a good point. You already got QT. That's a very unique last name.
Right, you don't have to go crazy.
You don't have to, but they decided to. Clearly.
And then the first thing, we can't call him, what's it, Kavon?
I don't even know how to pronounce it.
That's why they don't use it.
So, Kiki.
Well, that's a problem, Dale. When you can't use your kid's first name,
Well, I'm sure his parents can.
No.
We can.
We don't judge it on the parents. We judge it on the teacher in school.
Yeah. They just look, when they look down, they take attendance. Roll they go, call. I don't know. What do you want us to call you?
We just call
this.
You Kiki.
Roll call. That's when you know your first name.
All right. Does this guy have a nickname?
That's when you know your first name's jacked up when you do roll call. And the teacher looks down and goes.
Jacked up.
It's like.
His name's all jacked up. Look at it. No. 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 I'm we're not doing it.
Is there an AA Ron here?
AA Ron?
Come on.
It's just Aaron. All right, fine.
Cavante.
But it's a good game, though. Ricky Snails Jones.
We're going to play. From now on, we're going to play Guess Who Wiggy's Talking
Who's
About.
Who's Wiggy talking about?
Stop with the two last
Pick
names.
Pick a random player in the NFL, and we'll try to get to the bottom
Why
of it.
Why can't
is.
You just be, what's his name?
Kiki.
Seals. What's his name?
Seals.
Ricky Seals.
Seals Jones.
And
Seals? Ricky Snails
Not
Jones.
Snails.
Why can't he just be Ricky Seals. Jones? Why do you need snails on the back of your jersey?
He doesn't have snails.
Or Seals.
He doesn't.
Why do you need?
Because I'm guessing.
Why do you need two last names?
Well, I don't know. People who have hyphenated names would know better, but isn't it sometimes where maybe your parents have different last names, but you want both of them? Like maybe the mom keeps the maiden name or something like that?
I don't know.
I don't know what it is.
No, I don't.
But I'm guessing his mom or dad is Seals and his mom
the other
or dad
one
is Jones.
Jones.
That's my guess.
Well, you go with your
Happens
father's.
All the time.
You go with your father's last name.
You're kind of living in the past here,
Wiggy.
Yeah,
times are changing. It's different now.
Before
you
we
might
know,
come up with your own name now.
Before you know, you're going to have, I want to have like four names on the back of my jersey.
You might.
Ricky, Sales, Jones, Johnson, Devontae.
Bugatti and
the fourth.
The fourth. Yeah, the fourth. I got to throw the four.
Well, that became a huge thing a couple years ago. Remember, out of the woodwork, you had the third, fourth, and fifths out there running around.
Which is the humble brag that you've had sex with.
You have
before.
Had sex. Well, Jamie Collins all of a sudden was Jamie Collins Sr. You go, hey, there you go, Jamie.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Attaboy.
There was someone at my middle school who was Max the 12th.
That's insane.
12th?
Yeah, that is insane.
You just got to
like
give
George
that
Foreman.
Up.
Max the first.
All of his kids are named.
They're all Georges.
That's just because he's got no memory.
Yeah, I know.
In fact, Wig, I had a feeling that might have been something you could have thought of.
I wanted to give my kids nice, simple, basic names.
But that George Foreman thing is a mess, isn't
Bugatti
it?
Bugatti and Hennessy.
Yeah, but they blend it all up.
Yeah.
Busenesi.
No, you got to take the beginning, the middle, then the end.
Busenesi. Is there a Busenesi in class?
He's probably in the league. There's probably one in the league.
617-779-7937. Dale and Keith with Hennessy. Sports Radio WEEI.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.